earliest cultures recognized the importance of reliving significant events in order to find meaning in the past. The Orthodox Church's traditional cycle of feasts and fasts harkens back to her Hebrew roots. The cycle of feasts reminds us of these important events, which serve as doctrinal signposts that illuminate the gospel.
And by organizing the liturgical year and organizing our time around these feasts, we're organizing ourselves around our own human experience. What family doesn't celebrate the birth of a child and does it every year? What family doesn't celebrate significant moments in the life of that family? The very simple human experience of remembrance is important to understanding who we are as family, as individuals. And so by doing this in the life of the church, we know who we are as church that transcends these boundaries of family and person, our persons, to know that we belong to this community of followers of Christ. And so we celebrate the birth of our founder. We celebrate his entry into Jerusalem. We celebrate all these things around his life, hear about those stories, because there are stories, because we are one of his followers.
But the feasts of the Orthodox calendar are much more than simply commemorations. The Christian view of time and space leads to a new expression of reality. In each of the feasts, a hymn begins with the word today. Today is born, today the Theotokos, today Christ. This is more than a clever narrative device. It indicates that, when we partake of the liturgy, we actually enter into and participate with the mystical reality of the event itself. Orthodox liturgy is a journey to the heavenly kingdom. We enter into communion not only with those physically present, but with all those who have gone before us, as well as all those who will come after us, and God Himself is with us. In the sacraments of the Church, we truly are one, the body of Christ, existing beyond time and space.
Every moment is so sacred, and that's why that today is so strong. And yet, all our mistakes in the past can today be changed, because it's the same challenges facing us, it's the same thing. And cosmically, you don't know. Your whole life could be a mistake, but in liturgy you see, but today I could do things right, and that might be the moment that changes the world.
Every prayer and psalmody is a conversation with God, in which we either entreat him to give us those things which it is proper for God to give to men, or we thank him for his gifts, or we glorify him for all the creatures he has made, or we narrate his wonderful deeds, which he performed at various times for the salvation of men and the punishment of the unrighteous, or we narrate the great mystery of the incarnation of the Son and Logos of God and the like.
The feasts were added to the calendar organically, as a result of the young church's development of this mystical relationship, this great conversation with God. Several of the feasts of the Theotokos are taken from the readable books, such as the Proto-Evangelion of James, or the Assumption of the Virgin. The principles they teach are part of the church's doctrinal foundations, a part of the gospel, which the church chose to incorporate in its life. Orthodox worship shapes our minds and forms our souls. The icons, prayers, and hymns, these have all been tested through time and proven to be valuable tools for infusing the Orthodox faith into our lives. Faith comes by hearing, seeing, touching, and tasting. By participating in the Church's worship, our senses participate in the sights, sounds, aromas, and actions that communicate the faith to creatures consisting of bodies as well as souls.
The saints in a church are very important. Icons in a church are very important because it emphasizes and it protects us from turning Christianity into a knowledge, into information. Christianity is not information. Christianity is life. So therefore, we portray people living around us. That's why the icons are action. It's It's action, life. And that's what liturgy is. It is not reenacting scriptural truths. Scriptural truths are found within that life, but you cannot compress life into just spiritual truths. It's much greater than that.
Our Orthodox faith commemorates and celebrates the lives of those individuals who followed Christ's example and achieved a level of holiness. Each saint's life is a unique and dynamic example for us. Recalling their stories and venerating their icons inspires us to respond courageously to the challenges that will face us in our unique Christian journey.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
But participating in the liturgy goes beyond simple learning. Active participation in the Church's worship is critical to maintaining our spiritual life, for it provides us with the spiritual food to remain faithful, to uphold each other, and to grow in Christ.
How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification.
Neglecting the feasts and fasts of the Church is like forgetting someone's birthday. Of course, in our society, with two parents working, schools, schedules, and long commutes, it is a challenge to attend even a small part of the entire cycle of the Church's services. Still, faithful believers should try and observe the major feast days, for they are celebrations of our life in Christ. To the extent that we ignore them, we fail to acknowledge God and our fellow believers. To be a part of the body of Christ is to participate in the work of the Church. Orthodox worship engages our whole body and senses. We fast and feast. We stand and kneel. We breathe the sweet aroma as the incense arises, carrying aloft our prayers. We are surrounded by the blessed icons, so great a cloud of witnesses who participate along with us.
That worship is an expression of how we are attracted to beauty and goodness and truth. And just like things of this earth that are beautiful and true and good fascinate us and attract us, something similar happens in worship because God is the source of life and of all goodness and light and truth and wisdom. So human beings are naturally attracted, fascinated, want to express their adoration, admiration, devotion to God, who is the most beautiful thing, person, mystery that we can possibly encounter in life. So the beauty and the truth and the majesty of God requires, invites, demands, if you like, our devotion, our worship. So as we are doing this feast, we must remember that's why we are there, to pay adoration to God. A second important reason for the significance of worship is that in the process of expressing our devotion and reverence and veneration and so on of God, we connect with Him, we link up, we share in His life, so that we are lifted up to that level of His beauty and His truth, and in the process are transformed. So why does He need us? I'm sure He has great enjoyment in seeing His children being in conversation with Him. Okay. So worship then is very good for us because it lifts us from our earthly life to the point of the life of God.
Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
When we partake of the Church's liturgical life, we must always have the purpose of the feast before us, to become Christ-like, to strive for theosis and holiness. The first step in this lifelong process, one that we must repeat again and again, is repentance. The Greek word is metanoia, meaning a change of heart. Our sinfulness is constantly before us, and we must live in repentance, always turning and returning to God. By continuously participating in this sacramental life, we consistently return to this path of godliness.
It's this great drama, and it's this great dialogue between all the ages of man and all the from earliest dawn of time and the angels and before time, all the way to the very end. And we're each sort of logging on. You know, when we go to liturgy, we log on to that conversation and we read the messages that have been left thousands of years ago and hundreds of years ago and 10 years ago. And we speak to the future too. And some of the messages of the future we already know because we know how things turn out. Liturgy helps us personalize time because, first of all, it's personal stories. And second of all, because it's the same personal stories, every year how we've matured or not comes into vivid relief. Those dramas become our dramas. We begin to see how our lives revolve around the exaltation of the cross in our life. Maybe for some person that is a sick child, and that is the exaltation in their life, that they've got this cross and it really is their salvation. And for every aspect of the feast, there's something like that, and it becomes our story, and we become so personally distinct. And in a very practical way, liturgy is just the matrix. It's the matrix for the transformation of the Orthodox Christian. And you come in it, and in some ways, it's your participation. You show up, or you fast, or you come to the services. But in other ways, it's so beautiful that it just draws you in. And that mystery between providence and free will, and it's just somehow transcended. We just come into it, and all those questions kind of fall away. The changes that Orthodox liturgy makes in you can be, they're not as easily amenable to kind of a superficial or a visual glance. It can be within. When you first start to repent in our church, your life outwardly may seem worse, or people may think less of you, or just as you really are becoming closest to God, your closest friend can pull to you and say, "We think you're on the totally wrong path," and you have to really ask yourself, well, maybe they're right, but maybe they're not. Maybe trust ye not in princes and the sons of men. Maybe just go forward in Christ and let him recreate me and transform me. As we grow in the life in Christ, we're called to more effort, and maybe the crosses sometimes get bigger. But from another perspective, we see that it was all, you know, done for us in a way, or that we were prompted, or we're so, our overwhelming attitude of liturgy is Eucharist, is gratitude. And so we give the credit for our salvation to God. But God says to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that ultimately is the answer, that we give the credit to God for our salvation, he gives it to us. And this dance, this encounter is liturgy.
Let no one, conscious of his sinfulness, withdraw from our common celebration. Nor let anyone be kept away from our public prayer by the burden of his guilt. Sinner he may indeed be, but he must not despair of pardon on this day which is so highly privileged. For if a thief could receive the grace of paradise, how could a Christian be refused forgiveness?